Hare Krishna, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2nd, Chapter 10, titled Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions, text number 6. Nirodhasyanu Shayanam Atmana Saha Shaktivi Muktir Hitvanyatharupam Sarupena Vyavastiti. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The merging of the living entity, along with its conditional living tendency, with the mystic lying down of the Mahavishnu, is called the winding up of the cosmic manifestation. Liberation is the permanent situation of the form of the living entity after he gives up the changeable, gross and subtle material bodies. Purport. As we have discussed several times, there are two types of living entities. Most of them are ever liberated or Nitya Muktas, while some of them are ever conditioned. The ever conditioned souls are apt to develop a mentality of lording over the material nature, and therefore the material cosmic creation is manifested to give the ever-conditioned souls two kinds of facilities. One facility is that the conditioned soul can act according to his tendency to lord it over the cosmic manifestation. And the other facility gives the conditioned soul a chance to come back to Godhead. So after the winding up of the cosmic manifestation, most of the conditioned souls merge into the existence of the Mahavishnu personality of Godhead, lying in his mystic slumber, to be created again in the next creation. But some of the conditioned souls who follow the transcendental sound in the form of Vedic literatures and are thus able to go back to Godhead, attain spiritual and original bodies after quitting the conditional gross and subtle material bodies. The material conditional bodies develop out of the living entities forgetfulness of their relationship with Godhead. And during the course of the cosmic manifestation, the conditioned souls are given a chance to revive their original status of life with the help of revealed scriptures so mercifully compiled by the Lord in his different incarnations. Reading or hearing of such transcendental literatures helps one become liberated even in the conditional state of material existence. All the Vedic literatures aim at devotional service to the personality of Godhead. And as soon as one is fixed upon this point, he at once becomes liberated from conditional life. The material gross and subtle forms are simply due to the conditioned soul's ignorance. And as soon as he is fixed in the devotional service of the Lord, he becomes eligible to be freed from the conditioned state. This devotional service is transcendental attraction for the Supreme on account of his being the source of all pleasing humors. Everyone is after some pleasure of humor for enjoyment but does not know the Supreme source of all attraction. Raso vai sarasam hi evayam ladva vanandi bhavati. The Vedic hymns inform everyone about the supreme source of all pleasure. The unlimited fountainhead of all pleasures is the personality of Godhead. And one who is fortunate enough to get this information to transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam becomes permanently liberated to occupy his proper place in the kingdom of God. Om Ajnana Timirandasya. Hare Krishna. It's a great privilege and honor to be for me to be here. Most of you don't know me. I like to introduce myself. I am Adi Keshav Das. I am a visitor here, coming for the first time from Mumbai, or you can say Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Till now I heard so much about Melbourne Temple. Today I happen to be here, so I am very grateful to all of you for giving your association here. We don't know each other, we are from different backgrounds, but still my experience is when I meet people, I mean, there is still, we feel some closeness. Even if you don't talk to them, we just look at them. This closeness is because what we are perceiving is same. We all want to develop that relationship with our Supreme Father. So in that sense, we are somewhere related, even if you are not met before. So I meet people, I feel, oh, I don't know them, but there is some feeling of closeness, as if we know each other well. So once again, thank you very much. Of course, His Grace Aniruddha Prabhu is not here, so I'll like to express my gratitude to him. He is not here, so whenever he has visited our hospital or Mumbai, it has been a great pleasure to be with him. So, in this verse, I'll just repeat the translation. It's a very, very significant verse and a purport which gives the essence of all scriptures. I mean, there is no need to know more than this, what is said. Something very simple and practical. Something which is very difficult in one sense, but we are given hopes and assurance that that thing difficult can be easy if you do this. That's what he said here in this. Again, repeat, the merging of the living entity along with this conditioned living tendency with the mystic lying down of the Mahavishnu is called the winding up of the cosmic manifestation. Liberation is the permanent situation of the form of the living entity after he gives up the changeable, gross and subtle material bodies. So here, Sukadev Goswami, in Srimad Bhagavatam here, he's just giving us some idea about our state, where are we as living entities. And in the previous verse and in the previous verse, there's some description about the cosmic manifestation. When we hear about the creation or the cosmic manifestation, it is not so many times interesting. So many details, very difficult to understand how the creation takes place. We are fascinated, or we like to hear more about Krishna's leelas or his activities. But Srishti Leela, that is also a leela, cosmic creation, is equally important. It is not just Prem Leela, that is his relationship with his devotees, which obviously is very attractive. But Srishti Leela is also equally important because it gives us some understanding about we jiva, where do we belong to and where we are, and what is the need and where have we gone wrong. Here it is said, then the cosmic manifestation unwinds. Now just remember that the Lord has created this material creation for only one purpose. As it is said, there are two types of living entities. One is liberated, other is conditioned. Now, conditioned state, what does it mean? Conditioned, we with the conditioned state, we have got our own gross and subtle bodies. And what is the mentality? To lord over material nature. So he has created this whole creation. But then, what is he waiting for? He is waiting for that one day we will realize that we are not meant to lord over. We are here to come back to Godhead. But unfortunately, even after the whole cosmic creation unwinds, how much time it must be taking to unwind the whole cosmic creation? Can you fathom how many years it must be? That is something like a trillion years. But imagine, after so many years, there will be souls who have still not accepted Lord as a Supreme Personality, not willing to surrender. So at the time when it unwinds, so with your subtle bodies, again you merge into Mahavishnu. And how long it takes again to reappear? So that much time is gone. And the Lord is waiting. He has created this facility. But then he's waiting that when are you going to understand? So out of compassion, as we heard yesterday, His Grace Prana Prabhu was very nicely describing about the incarnations. So all the incarnations, this is also an expression of compassion. The Lord out of compassion comes again and again. It's just a sign of compassion for those living entities, just to remind them. Here it is said, this energy is very difficult to overcome. That even Bhagavad Gita says that, right? In 7th chapter, Krishna says, Daivi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. Duratya means impossible. It is, and but he says it's my energy. Daivi esha gunamai, that material energy is also mine. Mam eva hi prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. But one who surrenders, one who accepts, for him that same thing which is duratyaya, which is impossible, he can transcend that. So in this purport, Prabhupada says that can be easily attained by just hearing and chanting. Now hearing what? So Lord has performed so many activities, as we heard yesterday. Prabhu was very nicely describing about Leelas, his relationship with devotees, specifically about Sudhama. But there are several such Leelas. Why did he do all these Leelas? Why did he do? So that we can talk about it now. We can do even dramas. If you have not done all these things, you know, what will you do? What will you talk about? So his Leelas are so attractive, so fascinating. It also reveals his nature, how merciful he is. So continuing yesterday's Leelas, I thought about, we'll also go into some Leelas. Because here it said that we just talk about those Leelas and we'll overcome from this influence of material nature. One sense, so simple, isn't it? All the jnanis and the yogis, and they are doing so much austerity, tapasya, trying to, you know, what they do in the Himalayas for years to years together. For what purpose? So that you can get liberated. And here it is said that just by hearing and chanting, you can attain the same position. Does it make sense? This is the power of hearing the Lord's activities and glories, especially when it is heard through proper parampara. So Krishna Leela, we are very, very fortunate that Prabhupada has left behind for all of us to, for the rest of eternity, to just read. What qualification we have to understand these Leelas, but it is there for us to understand here. So we will just try to see that there is one Leela about the Lord. The last day when he was in Vrindavan, That was the last day. The next day then he went to Mathura. So how old was he that time? Around. That means it was Pauganda Leela was getting over and he had attained Kaishor Leela. This is more important to know about the Lord what age, and rather than, you know, in the school we had to hear about some emperors in what age, what he did, and you know, the history, so much details, and no doubt you need that information, but it has not much spiritual value. It is not going to purify us. But in this, if you detail study, it's purifying, just remembering. So what happened is, on that day, as usual, there were demons attacking. One was before lunch and one was after lunch. Okay, so this is how it. So this is one demon who came. And when we hear from Acharyas, it's not that it's just entertaining us, it also gives us instruction. So this was a demon called Keshi demon. Now this Keshi demon, what form it came? And it is said that a horse is, Prabhupada said, the most beautiful animal is horse. And this horse was running with full speed and it wanted to attack Krishna. And imagine what the horse must be thinking when it is running with full speed. It is attacking Krishna, but it has its own pride. So when it attacked Krishna, Krishna of course held its limbs and threw it far away. And then the horse came back again, and this time he put his hand with his fist inside and the fist expanded inside. When inside your windpipe or your food pipe, wherever you put your hand, and if it expands, what will happen? Choked, right? So he was choked. And when he was choked, he started passing stool and urine. And all this is in public. Even the demigods are watching. So the Acharyas are saying, what does it represent? If we think that's our nature, because we have our ego, I am better than others, my temple is better than that temple, or my guru is better than that guru, or several other things of, you know, superiority, and that own arrogance that, you know, I am the one who have achieved. Now, these are the things which are very contradictory for crying out the Lord's name. If you have to cry out the Lord's name, and if these emotions are there, they are an obstacle. So the Lord destroys this, and we need to. So this is what Acharyas, they explain. In his own life, Prabhupada, when he was very successful, he was all successful, and this was the time where Janmashtami was, first time in Bhaktivedanta manner, Janmashtami was performed, and the next day was Vyas Puja, and that is the day, and very soon Chaitanya Charitamrita was getting released, and you see Prabhupada's nature that time, it's most successful, and he is giving all credit to Pradyumna Prabhu and his wife, and they are the one who are responsible, they are the one who did. He never ever took any credit for all the things. There was all success in front of him, and it was he who did it. But in his heart, he never accepted anything. So this is one Leela where we understand. And when this was happening, Narada Muni already had come, and he was glorifying Krishna, and he was also predicting that what is going to happen in the future. But at the same time, Narada Muni had also gone and told Kamsa that it is the 8th child is there in Vrindavan. He is the one responsible for killing, and who it is also was revealed. It is Krishna and Balram. So obviously, Kamsa immediately imprisoned Devaki and Vasudeva, and he wanted to kill everyone, all those who are connected, and he asked Akrura to kill you. Why Akrura? Because he knew that Akrura was related to him, Krishna. Krishna's uncle he was. He made a new chariot, so he could not refuse. It's a brand new thing, you know, you liked. So he said, you go and invite him for the wrestling match. So again, on that same day, this is the last day, in the evening there was one more demon attacked. Anyone knows which was the demon? Vyomasur. Now in what form this demon came? He came like a coward boy. And coward boy means he was exactly looking like a coward boy. And this is a time when coward boys with Krishna, they were playing this game of shepherds, sheep and thief. So some of them were thieves, some of them were shepherds and some of them. So this demon in disguise as coward boy, he took whose position? Thief. So in that pastime, he started taking these coward boys and he took them away from Krishna and started hiding them inside a cave. So of course Krishna recognized who this demon was, and the demon revealed when Krishna grabbed him, and then obviously Krishna killed. So again the acharyas, they give us instruction about who this demon represents. So now this coward boy came in disguise. So he was looking exactly like their friend. So in our life, many things, we have to take some decisions. Many things will appear. It will convince us that this is very favorable for a Krishna consciousness. This is very good. We can justify it. But things which can appear, but not necessarily they are favorable. And what is the result of that? If we get caught up in that, that can take us away from the way this coward boy in disguise was a demon, Vyomasur. He took away coward boys from Krishna. So these are those instructions what we get. The leelas are very nice to hear, but more important is the instruction. So on that day, two demons were killed, Kesi demon and Vyomasur. And then Akrura came in the evening. Akrura came and of course next day morning Krishna and Balaram left. So it's a very long story, but I will just fast forward it and we'll come to another one Leela which is very interesting. So you see Krishna and Balaram were taken to Nanda Maharaj, and what was the invitation? Bow sacrifice. But it was a conspiracy. You know that Kamsa had something else in mind. So you go and invite them, and it is a festival, bow sacrifice, you know, and Krishna and Balaram went, Nanda Maharaj and also the coward, they also went. So when Krishna reached Mathura, obviously he went around the city looking out for, we all know that he delivered the, was the washerman who refused, and the garland maker, and Kubja. Kubja, he straightened her. Again, there is some instruction. We all need to be straightened up. We have our own crooked things going on within, you know. Whether it is envy or greed or, you know, lust or hypocrisy and all. We need to be straightened up. So, he straightened her up. And then, the next day, morning, was the wrestling match. So, he... Krishna and Balaram ran because they were behaving like small children. So when they heard the kettle drums and all, oh, the wrestling match is going to start. So let's run. And they wanted to enter the stadium. What they see? There is a big elephant blocking their way. Kuvela Pida. And they kill. Then they enter. And Krishna and Balaram purposely entered late. They're all waiting. The wrestlers were waiting. And there is a fight. And of course there are so much emotional exchanges. You know, this is not fair. They are small children. How can it be? And all different people. This, of course Krishna and Balaram kill both the wrestlers. And a few more of them. And finally, Kamsa was killed. So all these things when it is happening, Vasudev and Devaki, they are in the prison. They have not seen Krishna. How long they have not seen Krishna? The last they saw was in the prison house when Krishna appeared and did. So they have not seen him, they just heard that Krishna and Balaram have come. And what they heard now? That he killed the elephant and he killed Kamsa. So now after everything was over, Krishna and Balaram, they want to meet their parents. So when they go to meet their parents, the parents are stunned. They are just looking at them like this. Now Krishna and Balaram, obviously they will not like that, you know. Why would the parents? So this is the difference between Vasudeva, Devaki and Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. When Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they would see Krishna's Aishwarya Bhav, his opulence, but it would not make any difference to them. They would still remain the same. Oh, even if people say, oh, he's done, but no, he's our son. But Vasudeva and Devaki, it's not like that. When they saw the Aishwarya Bhav, my God, he's not our son. You know, he's Supreme Personality, he's God. So Krishna and Balaram didn't like this. So they wanted that Vatsalya Bhav. So in this episode, in this Leela, Krishna is speaking to his parents. So you want to know what he speaks? These are his direct words. It's Krishna as less than 11-year-old boy. He is telling his parents and see what happens. You want to hear this? These will be direct words of Krishna. This is chapter 45. I just read the translation of the verse. Now they are stunned. They have no emotions. But this is my, this is Krishna. Krishna said, "Dear father, because of us, your two sons, you and mother Devaki, always remained in anxiety and could never enjoy our childhood, boyhood or youth. Deprived by fate, we could not live with you and enjoy the pampered happiness most children enjoy in their parents' home." Here they are saying they are also deprived. You were deprived, we were also deprived. And then just attentively hear what is it. "With one's body one can acquire all goals of life. And it is one's parents who give the body birth and sustenance. Therefore, no mortal man can repay his debt to his parents, even if he serves them for a full lifetime of 100 years. Now, Krishna is speaking this, and Nanda Maharaj is not there. And they are away. Obviously, Nanda Maharaj will be surprised to see that who is Krishna talking to him. But Nanda Maharaj thinks he is only his son. And Devaki and Vasudev may be thinking that, but Krishna, how will you know that we are his parents? He may be, he is Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda's parents. To just assure them, no, I am your child. So he is speaking here, he is saying that no mortal man can repay his debt to his parents, even if he serves them for a full lifetime of 100 years. How does it sound, huh? And then he goes ahead, "A son who though able to do so, if he has the capacity to do so, that means take care of his parents, fails to provide for his parents with his physical resources and wealth, is forced after his death to eat his own flesh." This is Krishna's words. A person, if he has not taken care of his responsibility, he'll go to hell. And in hell there are different punishments. And in what is this punishment? When he is crying out of pain, what will the Yamdutas do? They'll cut his own flesh and tell him to eat. "A man who, though able to do so, fails to support his elderly parents, chaste wife, young child, or spiritual master, or who neglects a Brahmana or anyone who comes to him for shelter is considered dead, even though he is breathing. Thus, we have wasted all these days unable as we were here to properly honor you, because our minds were always disturbed by the fear of Kamsa." So they said, "We were very scared of Kamsa, so we didn't come to meet you. So please forgive us." This is what is, "Dear father and mother, please forgive us for not serving you. We are not independent and have been greatly frustrated by cruel Kamsa." So when they heard these words of Krishna and Balaram, immediately Vasudeva and Devaki's emotions came up. Their throat was choked, they had tears in their eyes. They took up Krishna and Balaram on their laps, are embracing him, kissing him. So this is what happened between Devaki and Vasudeva. So this is an instruction that it is said that in grihastha ashram there is not much happiness and pleasure. But there is one pleasure definitely there, which everyone will agree. Seeing the children growing up. When they see the children growing up, that pleasure is only those who know, they know it. It gives them immense pleasure. Recently in India, I was reading one film star. His time is over, but his son is becoming a film star. So he is expressing that when my child was 2 years old, 3 years old growing up, even if I am shooting in Delhi, he was staying in Mumbai. So there's a 2 hours flight. It takes at least 1.5-2 hours. He is saying that at night I'll take a flight, I'll come back just to be with my son. So what must be the... So there's a pleasure in that. And next day morning he'll take a flight and go back to his shooting. So of course now his son is grown up. So this is one pleasure. We can't understand what is this pleasure. Of course Krishna has deprived Devaki and Vasudeva for this. So he's already saying that, I'm sorry, we were not there. But in one sense we all have this experience that how much, even if you see all this, broken marriages, and always the question comes about custody. Who is going to take care of the child, where the child is safe, who can take care of. So that is the relationship. In our hospital I have seen that many times children, when they fall sick, they are admitted, and when they are quite critical, and they are admitted in the critical care department, and the bill shoots up. And if they are very poor, it's very difficult for them to pay them, but they will do anything for that. They'll go and beg, they may borrow, but they will say that, please do something for my child. So these are the emotions of parents when they see their children taking care of them. But at the same time, when the children grow up, it is not necessary that they reciprocate. So that is sometimes very painful. But then there are very harsh words used that, taking care of parents. So maybe people who are going to take brahmacharya life, they may think that, oh, whatever, then I'm doing something, right? So it's not true that once one... devotee asked in one Bhagavatam class that, Maharaj, I would like to take up this renounce order of life, but my parents, they don't agree with me and they don't want me to do. So this Maharaj answered, if you really care for your parents, now if you follow what they are saying, because they stopped you from, there is going to be a reaction to them. So if you are a real well-wisher of your parents, you should not. Now in Shastra it is also mentioned about attachment to wife, wealth. But nowhere it is mentioned about attachment to parents. It is not mentioned anywhere. You don't say that attachment to parents is a big obstacle. It is not said like that. So this gratitude of, as Krishna says, it is said that even 100 years I will not be able to pay back. So this is a relationship. Of course in Chaitanya Charitamrita something very interesting also is there. You all heard about Sarang Thakur. Sarang Thakur was one of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associate. So he was very busy, he would be all day working, but he didn't have any assistance. So it so happened once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, why don't you accept a disciple? Well, then, no, I don't want any, I don't want want any fame and all, you know, unnecessary. I don't want it, he said. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu insisted that you have so much service to do, you need someone, you should accept, you know. So he said, okay, tomorrow the first person whom I see, I will initiate him. So the next day, as usual, in the morning, he went for his bath and he was offering his oblations and something hit him. And that was the first, and he saw, it was early in the morning, he saw it was a dead body of a 12-year-old boy. So he had said that, you know, whoever I see for the first time, I'll initiate. And he had the potency because of his purity, and he initiated and this boy came back to life. Now what had happened is, in another village, this boy was bitten by a snake and he had died. And those days, even now, I think it's a tradition, you know, they follow that. When the death is because of snake bite, they just leave the body in the river, Ganga. So the word spread that their son is alive. So here Sarang Thakur has initiated him. So the parents, they come and they ask, son, you are alive, so we are your parents. Come back. So he responds, you are my biological parents, no doubt. You have given me this body. But now he has made me understand who my real parents are. Sarang Thakur. Because he, after initiation, he re-established what is the purpose of life. So in that sense, obviously, he didn't go back. He remained with Sarang Thakur, and this is how. Of course, Srimad Bhagavatam also says, in a family, one person, if he becomes a devotee, you see that Prahlad Maharaj got that benediction, that generations. So even if anyone wants to do the best to his parents, he becomes a devotee. Many times, devotees, they are very concerned about their parents. My father, my mother, I would like them also. But the answer is, you become a devotee. If you become a devotee, even if you, obviously you care for your parents, they also get, it's just like watering the root of the tree, and the mercy goes everywhere. So this is just one point, that how these emotions of relationship. So during Prabhupada's times again, of course Prabhupada left his family, became a sannyasi, he widened his family. And there are many senior ISKCON leaders I have met, they would say that we were from broken family, we didn't know what was love. They didn't know what was it. And when we met Prabhupada, Prabhupada was like our father, mother, everything, because Prabhupada was representing Krishna's love. Krishna's love, he was representing them, and they could feel it. And that is how they became. They felt that he is our real father. They are willing to do anything. They surrendered their life. So these are the emotional exchanges we have seen in ISKCON, how in the early days, how it grew up. So here it is said that how just hearing these pastimes which Krishna has enacted, we can get disentangled from this most difficult thing, material nature. Devi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. Krishna says, is this energy is mine, but it is very difficult to overcome. So that sense, even this body is material nature, so this body also has to be taken care, but the purpose of this body is to re-establish a relationship. So in this context, I just wanted to conclude by saying, we say about our parents, mother, father, but material nature is also our mother, especially Bhumi, earth, isn't it? Because she is the one who is nourishing us. To maintain our body, where are the grains coming from? Even the milk is coming from cow, but the cow has to eat grass. It eats the grass and then. So there is a very nice verse in. Usually, I hope you are even in children program here, whether they teach this, but in India it is very popular, very known, this verse. How it is said that, this is a very simple verse, which says, Samudra Vasane Devi पर्वतस्तन मंडले विष्णु पत्नी नमस्तुभ्यम पाद स्पर्शम समस्व में. What does it mean? These are very popular words. It says that when you get up early in the morning, you know, get up from your bed, and what do you do the first thing? Of course, if you're at ground level, it is applicable. You're going to put your foot first. So that time, see the feeling, see the gratitude. It is said, yes, Samudra Vasane Devi. The ocean is, oh mother, the ocean is like your dress. The mountain is like your bosom. You are the wife of Vishnu. Please forgive me. Now I am going to put my feet on you. Now this is an awareness, attitude. And we are talking so much about, you know, our eco-friendly and environmental problem and all. But no one talks about this part, that this material energy belongs to someone. If we disconnect and then we try all solution, that is not going to work. Just few weeks back, we had one seminar in Mumbai on saving Mother Ganga. Now this, the people who attended this were from, they were journalists, there was politician, there were IIT professors, and also they were saintly people. So everyone was giving their, you know, solution, what it should be done, the politician. And then there were judges, Supreme Court judge, that we should make law, and IIT people were giving their solution, that how the sewage system and that and this and the technology, we can do this, we can do that. And the journalists through the media, we said we can bring out this awareness. And then there was one speaker, you all know him, he visits here. His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj. So he started speaking. Again he said this, Devi Esha Gunamai, in Bhagavad Gita it is said that this material energy is mine, it belongs to me. So if you insert, suppose a very famous man, you know, if his car is parked somewhere outside and someone throws a stone at his car, to whose insult it is? That person's insult it is, right? Because you threw a stone at his car is as good as you have thrown a stone at him. So when Krishna says this material energy belongs to me, so any type of exploitation is as good as insult to Krishna, because it is his. He says that this energy is a purpose. As in today's purport, it is said, this cosmic manifestation, for those who want to lord over, it will be there. But those who understand that this is the energy meant for finally to go back. So this body is there, the nature is there, how to live in harmony. And in that state, when we keep hearing about Krishna's activities, his glories, his merciful nature, of course also in this context that how powerful and great he is. In cosmic, the creation, what is our position? What are we? Nothing. So it's very natural to bow down to that mood, and same time not to forget that he's very merciful. It is not that he's just great, so he's some autocrat, but he's also merciful. He's just waiting. Here he says, I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting. And unfortunately, even when it unwinds, everything merges back. And if, what to do? There are still people. They're not accepting. They're not willing. This way life just, it's a waste. So well, this is one thing which we can. We have great opportunity by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He has put down in print. We can hear, discuss, chant Krishna's glories. There are wonderful devotees who can make us understand what is the instruction and just apply it in our life, and whatever we are doing, there is no need to change. Just keep connected. As I was speaking to the young people yesterday, this is what Prabhupada would say, that we are not against any of your development, you know, you can be this, you can be that. These are all gifts of the Lord. But they are like zeros. So if you have 1 0, you have 2 0, you have 3 0, you add all the zeros, What is it? What is the total? It is zero. You multiply all the zeros, it is zero. You divide all the zeros, whatever you do, zero is zero. But you just keep one in front. What will happen to the value? The more the zeros, so he wants to say, you're not against. Huh? You can be an engineer, you can be an MBA, you can be a chartered accountant, you can be a doctor, you can be an artist, you can be this. But don't forget, what is the purpose? The problem is in this so-called progress, we forget about what is the purpose. Isn't people forget? You forget what is the purpose. What finally, eventually what? This is it. Make merry, enjoy. Who has seen tomorrow? But then, this is truth. This is tomorrow. It may sound it is a long time to go, huh? Cosmic. We don't know but what opportunity we'll have. This is an opportunity, should not be. So with a lot of gratitude and awareness for ourselves and whatever we have received, we should be talking about it. The only thing what you can do is keep talking about it. We can't say that, what can we do? You know, people are not going to listen. No, that is not true. But there is, preaching is never a waste. Of course, you have to be intelligent when we talk, to whom we talk. But this is a need. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, there is only one problem. There is solution to all problems. And there is only one problem. What is that problem? Lack of God consciousness. So with this understanding, wherever we are in Mumbai or Melbourne, the purpose is same. We are here meant to understand and go back, re-establish, and this is an opportunity. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So, there is not much time. So I once again express my gratitude to all of you. I don't know many of you. Few of you I know them before I came. Like Nityananda Priya Prabhu, Jagannath Ram Prabhu. And many of you I have not met. But still, even if I don't know, I told you. The feeling is we are all meant for going back. So we need a help of each other. And this is what is Sangha. Shri Shri Radha Vallabha Bhagwan Ki Jai. Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Bhagwan Ki Jai. Gaur Nitai Bhagwan Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.